Inshallah, in our continuation of the Hadith study on Masjid Aqsa and the surrounding area, the Quds. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect its people, protect the surrounding areas. Inshallah ta'ala. Hadith number 16. An Maymuna bint Sa'd radiyallahu anha, mawlat al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. أنها قالت يا نبي الله صلى الله عليه وسلم أفتنا في بيت المقدس قال أرض المنشر والمحشر ائتوه فصلوا فيه فإن صلاة فيه كألف صلاة فيما سوى قالت أرأيت من لم يطق أن يتحمل إليه أو يأتيه قال فليهدي إليه زيتا يسرج فيه فإن من أهدى له كان كمن صلى فيه. This hadith related by Imam Ahmad rahimahullah on the authority of Maymuna bint Sa'd radiallahu anha, the freed slave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, who said she asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam in regards to Bayt al-Maqdis, and she said, O Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, inform us about Bayt al-Maqdis. He said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam responded by saying, it is the land of Mahshar, is the land of resurrection and congregation, the Mahshar. Visit it and pray in it. For indeed, prayer in it is like 1,000 prayers in other than it, in the other masajid. She further asks, if one of us is not able or cannot visit it, what should we do? He, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, then he should make a gift of some oil to be lit therein in its lamps. For indeed, the one who gives this to Masjid Aqsa will be like the one who has prayed therein. So in this hadith, Maymuna radhiyallahu anha asked the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam about praying in Bayt al-Maqdis, and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam responds by saying it is worth equal to 1,000 prayers. And like I said in the previous session, that there are different riwayat with different numbers, and the most authentic opinion from the scholars take it that it's either 500 or 250 prayers. So this hadith here, goes on to say that if one of us cannot visit, if we're not able to go there and pray in Masjid al-Aqsa, then what should we do? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded by saying, then you should send some oil as a gift to be lit in the lamps, and then you will be as if you prayed inside the masjid. There's another hadith, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah narrates hadith, عن ذي الأصابع رضي الله عنه قال قلت يا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن ابتلينا بعدك بالبقاء أين تأمرنا قال عليك ببيت المقدس فلعله أن ينشأ لك ذرية يغدون إلى ذلك المسجد ويروحون. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked by a Sahabi that if we are tested in what lands we stay in after you, then where should we go? Where do you order us to go? And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam responded by saying, "Go to Baytul Maqdis. Go to Baytul Maqdis to Sham, for perhaps you will have offspring" that come from your lineage, from your offspring, your dhurriya, who will commit themselves to that masjid and visit it. So this could be very well be the offspring of those sahaba are the ones who are defending Aqsa today, the ones who are there, and we see what's going on. Allah protect us all, inshallah. So the sahaba were ordered to go and stay there and live there, and maybe from their offspring will be people who will frequent the masjid and protect it, inshallah ta'ala. One of the reasons the scholars say about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling the Maymuna radhiyallahu anha, when she says that if we're not able to go there, then what should we do? And one of the reasons the ulama say is that there was war going on. We know that that was a time where the Romans and the Persians were at war. And they were at war for a long time. There were the two superpowers of that time. So that was one of the reasons why they wouldn't be able to go. Again, we're in that situation again today, where a lot of times people are not able to go to Masjid Aqsa. There's long lines at the border in Jordan. They don't allow you in, or whatever the reason is. So this is a time where you can send oil as a gift to the masjid, and it can be lit there, inshallah. You get the same reward. Next hadith, عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه قال أرسل ملك الموت إلى موسى عليه السلام فلما جاءه سقه فرجع إلى ربي فقال أرسلتني إلى عبد لا يريد الموت فرد الله عليه عينه وقال ارجع فقل له يده على متن ثور فله بكل ما غطت به يده بكل شعرة سنة قال أي ربي ثم ماذا قال ثم الموت قال فالآن فسأل الله أن يدنيه من الأرض المقدسة رمية بحجر قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم فلو كنت ثم لأريتكم قبرة إلى جانب الطريق عند الكثيب الأحمر. This hadith is narrated in Sahih Bukhari, and this is a little bit of the history. So before this, I'll talk about the intro a little bit of how the prophets and Anbiya ended up in Sham, in that area in Jerusalem. So we talked about how Baytul Haram in Makkah Mukarramah was the first masjid ever built. The foundations were the first ones that were built. And according to one opinion, the 40 years between them is when the foundation of Masjid Aqsa was built, 40 years after that. Another opinion is that it's talking about the foundation being raised by Ibrahim alayhi salam and Ismail alayhi salam, and then 40 years later he did the same with the foundations being raised in Masjid Aqsa with his other son Ishaq alayhi salam. So we know that Ibrahim alayhi salam made hijrah. He moved from Iraq, from that area in Iraq, and he went to Sham. First, he was traveling with his wife Sarah alayhi salam, and we know that he went to Egypt, and that was where his wife was kidnapped by the king's men, and where he tried to approach her, and she made dua against him, and his hands became paralyzed. This happened three times, and then he became afraid. He knew that this is not a normal woman, that she is one of the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he has no way to get close to her. So he begged her and pleaded to her that ask Allah to return my hands as normal, and I promise I will not touch you. Then he also gifted her Hajar alayhi salam, who was later to become the wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam, also the second wife of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So they moved together, three of them. This time they didn't have any children at that time. They went, three of them together, and they settled in the area of Sham. And that's, we know that after that, Ibrahim alayhi salam was ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to go to Makkah Mukarramah, and he took Hajar alayhi salam and their newborn child, took them to Makkah Mukarramah, and that's where he left them on the order of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they basically occupied the area of Makkah Mukarramah and started the lineage there and the area of Makkah. And on the other side, Ibrahim alayhi salam was living in Jerusalem in the Sham with his first wife Sarah alayhi salam and Ishaq alayhi salam, his other son. And we know that before that happened, when they were when Ibrahim alayhi salam was visited, and this is Surah Baqarah, where Ibrahim alayhi salam was visited by the angels, and they said, first they came and he didn't know that they were angels, they were in human form, and he went out and got a calf. He cooked it, slaughtered it, cooked it, and brought it out for them. They did not partake of the food. So he felt some uneasiness that, why are these people here? Do they have some evil intentions? Why aren't they eating from my food? So they said that don't worry, Ibrahim alayhi salam, we see that you have some uneasiness, but we are angels, we don't eat. We don't need food, we don't eat, so that's why we're here. And we're actually here to tell you that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to bless you with Ishaq alayhi salam. That's before Ishaq alayhi salam was born. He was given the glad tidings from the angels that you will be given a child. And that's when Sarah alayhi salam, she was very old, Ibrahim alayhi salam was very old, and she basically, they say either like she went like this or like this, she in surprise that I'm so old, how am I going to, after all these years of not having a child, I'm going to finally have a child. And so she was surprised at hearing this. And then the angels also gave them not only Ishaq alayhi salam, glad tidings of their son Yaqub, so their son and grandson Yaqub alayhi salam. And then they told him that Lut alayhi salam and his people will be destroyed. So the people, Ibrahim alayhi salam and then Lut alayhi salam and his family, when they were saved from the destruction, they all moved together and they settled in the land of Sham. Now Ibrahim alayhi salam, his children, Ishaq alayhi salam, Yaqub alayhi salam, from Yaqub alayhi salam, that's where Bani Israel comes from. So Israel means Abdullah, the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Israel is Yaqub alayhi salam. And Bani Israel are the 12 children of Yaqub alayhi salam. And that's where the 12 tribes came from. Yusuf alayhi salam, Binyamin alayhi salam, and then his brothers, their brothers. They are the 12 tribes of Bani Israel. Now they settled in Sham. And we know that the story of Yusuf in Surah Yusuf, alayhi salam, that they went through a lot of harsh conditions, drought and whatnot. And because of that, they had to actually migrate from the Sham area. They left that area. It was called the Kinana or Kanaan, sorry, Kanaan. Okay. They left from Kanaan. They went from the area and they actually settled in Egypt, where Yusuf alayhi salam became the king of Egypt, the leader of Egypt. And eventually they went and they settled there. Now after, fast forward years after that, the people of Bani Israel started leaving the tenets of Islam, started leaving out the following of the Quran and Sunnah. When they started doing that, they were disgraced. And that's when the people of the Fara'ina, the leaders of Misr, of Egypt, the leaders who were leaders of Egypt was the Bani Israel, they became the slaves of the people in Egypt, and it switched conditions because of their leaving the Quran and Sunnah. So they were disgraced, and then after that, and just like we are disgraced now, the Muslims now, because we have fallen so far away from the Quran and Sunnah and the teachings of the Quran and Sunnah, because of that we see the disgrace that the Muslims are feeling today. And this is from the prophecy of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam 1400 years ago, where he says that you will be the people will call upon each other on the dasr, on the sufra, like people calling to each other to a sufra. They'll come and they'll eat from you. And what this means is they will attack you, they will kill you. The Sahaba asked, is it because we're going to have qilla? Are we going to be small in number at that time? And the Prophet said, no, you will be large in number, but you will be the ghutha sail, you will be like the foam of the sea, meaning that you have no worth. You just blow them and they fly away. And the reason why behind that, حُبُّ الدُّنْيَا وَكَرَاهِيَةُ الْمَوْتِ, that you will have love of the dunya and the hate and dislike of death. And that's the same thing. We're following the footsteps of Bani Israel. Just like they were disgraced in Misr and Egypt, Muslims are being disgraced all over the world today. So now Bani Israel, they live there. And then we know that Musa alayhi salam, when he came, and he was commanded to take Bani Israel back to Ardul Muqaddasat, go back to that sacred land. And we talked about how Musa alayhi salam, when he went, they were ordered to enter into Jerusalem, and Bani Israel said, we will not enter into that city because those Jabbarun, the Jabbarin, the Qawm Jabbarin are living there, and you know, until they leave. So we're sitting here, إِنَّ هَا هُنَا قَائِدُونَ, we're sitting here, you go with your Lord and you fight, you open the doors for us, and we'll come and we'll follow you. So they said this to Musa alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made them, for 40 years they were lost, yatihun, they were lost in the desert because of this. So when Musa alayhi salam, in this hadith, when the angel of death was sent to him, ursila malakul maut, so when the angel of death was sent to Musa alayhi salam to take his life, falamma ja'u sakkahu faraja ila rabbi, so Musa alayhi salam actually punched him in the face. He didn't know who the malakul maut was, he didn't know that was the angel of death, so he actually punched him in the face, and he broke his eye. He basically ruined his eye or damaged his eye of the angel. And the angel went back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he says to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, faraja ila rabbi faqal arsaltani ila abdin la yuridul maut, you sent me to a man who does not want to die. Basically I went to him and he punched me in the face. فَرَدَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ عَيْنَهُ. So Allah SWT commanded and ordered that his eye be restored, his eye was restored. And then he was ordered to go back to Musa alayhi salam and tell him to put his hand on a thor and as many of the hair that comes under his hand, that you'll get years, that many years to live. So meaning your death will be postponed for that many years. So Musa alayhi salam asked, ثُمَّ مَا, what will happen after that? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him that you will die. Eventually you have to die. Everybody will die. كُلُّ نَفْسٍ ذَائِكَةُ الْمَوْتِ. Every soul will taste death. So you will die after that. So Musa alayhi salam says, so rather I would like to die now. I would like to go to you now. I would come back to you now. And this, we know that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi salam told us that every anbiya, every single anbiya and prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, they were given the choice before they die. They are given the choice to either remain a little bit more in the dunya and eventually they'll die, or they can leave at that time. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was given this choice. So for example, in one of the hadith, it comes where he, and not just one occasion, but they say maybe more than one occasion, where Rasulullah is talking to the Sahaba, and he says that an abd, a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, was given the choice between death and staying. And he chose that which is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Sahaba, they heard this, and they understood and they continued listening to the khutbah. But Abu Bakr Siddiq was sitting in that majma, he started to cry, he started to weep. And everyone thought, why is he crying? What's going on? What happened? And Abu Bakr was the only one to understand that abd that Rasulullah is mentioning is his himself. That he was given the choice and he chose to leave. Meaning that Abu Bakr understood that the death of the Prophet is close, he will be leaving us. And that made him cry because of his love of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So every anbiya is given a choice, every one of them. So Musa alayhi salam decided, he said that, no, I'd like to go now. And we know Rasulullah, again, he was given that choice just before his death. So when he was in his final sickness, and when he was in the house of Ummuna Aisha radiallahu anha, and Aisha radiallahu anha says that one of the last words he said, or the last words that he said, Allahumma Rafiq al-A'la, O Allah, the highest companion. Meaning he's, I choose to go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then his soul was taken. So Musa alayhi salam, right before he said, I'd like to die now instead, فَسَأَلَ اللَّهُ أَن يُدْنِيَهُ مِنَ الْأَرْضِ الْمُقَدَّسَةِ رَمْيَةً بِحَجَرٍ. He said that because they were not allowed to enter into Jerusalem, at least let me be a stone's throw from Jerusalem, from Bayt al-Maqdis, from that pure land, or sacred land. And he was given that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him that dua, or responded to that dua, accepted that dua. And Rasulullah says in this hadith, فَلَوْ كُنْتُ ثَمَّ, if I was there, if we were there right now, لَأَرَيْتُكُمْ قَبْرًا, I would show you his grave, إِلَى جَانِبِ الطَّرِيقِ, on the side of the road, عِنْدَ الْكَثِيبِ الْأَحْمَرِ, in close to the red hills. So we know that the Prophet ﷺ knew exactly where the qabr of Musa ﷺ was. And there is a masjid in Jerusalem, I'm not sure what's the name of the area, but there is a masjid where they claim that this is the grave of Musa ﷺ. Allah alam, we don't know that for sure, but the thing is that Rasulullah ﷺ did know where it was. And he said, I would have shown it to you. And also Rasulullah ﷺ saw Musa alayhi salam when Isra wal-Mi'raj, when he was on the journey to Isra wal-Mi'raj to Jerusalem. That was one of the things that he saw. He said, وَهُوَ قَائِمٌ فِي قَبْرِ, قَائِمٌ فِي قَبْرِ يُصَلِّ. That Musa alayhi salam was standing in his grave praying when Rasulullah ﷺ saw him and saw his grave. So that was one of the events of that. So we'll stop there inshallah ta'ala, and we'll continue with next class tomorrow inshallah. We'll continue with Yusha alayhi salam and his entering into Jerusalem eventually. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin. Jazakallahu khair.